You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill, and once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, folks, to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm here with Pastor John Kirkwood of Grace Gospel Fellowship in Bensonville, Illinois. I'm Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth about homosexuality. In case you're not aware of what AFTA is, that's our acronym, A-F-T-A-H. We are a single-issue organization devoted to exposing and opposing the powerful homosexual, bisexual, transgender lobby in our society. And we're very happy today to have as a guest Dr. Rick Scarborough. Rick, are you on the line?
I am here and happy to be with you today. Thank you, Peter.
Well, Rick is one of my favorite people in the pro-family movement, and I've said it many times. One of the great things about being involved in the culture war on the side of truth is you meet really the best people in society. And Rick is Pastor Rick Scarborough is has been in the movement a long time. He's the founder of Vision America and an exciting new project called 40 Days to Save America. We only have Rick for about 24 minutes, so Rick, we got to get right into it. Why don't you describe, first of all, what is 40 Days to Save America, so we don't lose that in the short time we have.
Well, I'd be happy to and grateful to, Peter. You and I have been fighting these battles on the front lines of the culture war together and in our own corners of the battle for the last 20-plus years. But it occurred to me about a year ago that even though we'd won a few elections along the way and had been fighting and slugging it out, we every single year we're losing ground. I think when I rewrote the book, Enough is Enough, which has about 100,000 copies in print, at the urging of Steve Strang here just a few years ago, I revisited every issue I had written about in 1996 and discovered that in every single one of those basic issues of the culture war, we lost ground. So in January of this past year, we launched an effort to build coalitions of organizations and churches that would set aside 40 days beginning September the 28th and pray and fast all the way up to Election Day and then on Election Day act. And what we're asking for is 40 days of prayer, fasting, and finally action, asking God to intervene in our country with true biblical Holy Ghost revival, apart from which I'm convinced, as you are, Peter, this country will not be saved.
Yeah, and I appreciate what you're saying about how we're losing ground. And Rick, I think even, you know, we did a show on the platform, just the last one we did, and you'll notice that the Republican Party platform, which of course is much better than the Democratic platform in terms of these social issues, but even the Republican platform, Rick, did you notice how it did not call for the repeal of Obama's homosexualization of the U.S. military?
Well,
wasn't that a big issue for us? I thought, wasn't that important? But now we're not calling for that to be the ban to be reinstated.
Well, that's exactly right, Peter. And then on the abortion issue, the first thing our candidate did was say that his own position wasn't near as tidy and what I believe is as righteous as the party platform. So he basically neutered the platform within days after it being adopted.
Now, let me clarify on that point, Rick. We're talking about, obviously, Americans for Truth, and I don't believe Vision America. We're not partisan organizations. We stand for family values in both parties, and I've criticized the Republican Party many times. And you're talking about Mitt Romney, the candidate for the Republican side.
Right.
Another one, Rick, is the incredible thing he put out on the Boy Scouts, saying that, reiterating his previous position, this is Mitt Romney, saying that he would favor allowing open homosexuals in the Boy Scouts of America.
And, you know, Peter, the thing that's so striking about that is those are winning issues when we have champions advancing them. In other words, standing for the Boy Scouts and holding up biblical values in that wonderful organization is a winning issue. The overwhelming majority of Americans believe that it's sane and righteous to have an organization where when boys go camping, they have in the tent with them, men who are not attracted to them physically. It's just preposterous that our politicians and elected leaders can't see the wisdom in doing it God's way.
Now, with this prayer, tell us about how has the support grown for this project? I'm getting excited about it. Of course, I'm such a meager Christian that my idea of a fast, John, is not going back for seconds.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've often said most Baptists believe fasting means eat as fast as you can. So it really is a lost part of the Christian faith. But Jesus himself demonstrated the importance of fasting. In the life of Moses, when the Ten Commandments were given, first God put him in a position of personal humiliation where he sought the Lord with such intensity that he denied himself every creature comfort, food and water. Elijah fasted. All through the Bible, fasting is central to deep and abiding moves of God. And so what we're asking those in this country, whom I call the remnant, who, like the sons of Issachar, understand the times and know what men should do, will literally set aside the comfort of eating for a period of time, whether it be 40 continuous days, as many of us will do, or one day a week, or one meal a day, but 40 days in which we focus more on God than we do ourselves, in the hope that we'll have national revival.
Now, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, Pastor, do you give any guidelines about what you recommend for the fast on your website covering this? Because I know a lot of people may not have ever done this before.
Yes, extensively. There are two authors of modern-day men of God who have spoken widely on the subject of fasting. One is Dr. Elmer Towns, who co-founded Liberty University with Dr. Jerry Falwell. Excuse me. He's written extensively on biblical fast, and his materials are posted on the site 40 Days to Save America under the little button entitled Resources. If you go all the way through that material by Elmer Towns, then you'll come to several links to materials by Dr. Bill Bright, who in the last 6 years of his life before the Lord called him home, fasted the first 40 days of each successive year for renewal in America.
Wow.
And in the course of that discipline, God taught him much about a biblical fast. So there's a plethora of information on the website that's all downloadable, and then references to other materials and books. Folks, this is something we've got to re-educate the church regarding.
Now, Rick, first of all, I want to reiterate the website is 40. That's the number 40, 40 days to save America.
That's correct.
.com?
.com, .org, .net, we've got them all.
Okay.
And if you'll Google 40 Days to Save America, it'll bring you right to the site.
And how many churches and pastors and people are involved so far?
Peter, it's hitting the place where it's beginning to explode on us. For weeks and weeks, we were adding just one or two a day. But in the last week, we added about 500 either churches or persons who said they would hold extended prayer meetings and make their homes places where people could gather and pray. I've not looked at it since last Thursday, but in the week preceding, it tripled or quadrupled in numbers, and now people like yourself are beginning to roll out the information. We're asking God for thousands by the time we start on the 28th.
This is so exciting, John. This is because, and here's a thing for people who don't know Rick Scarborough. He's not one of these pastors who says, "Oh, you know, politics is something that we can't get involved with." He's like you. He's a guy who gets involved. Explain your philosophy on pastors getting involved in these culture wars and not ignoring them or saying they're too spiritual or really not for the Christian. Rick,
well, Peter, you know, there've been documentaries done on our work, and what CNN said about me was correct. I believe for a preacher not to be engaged in this country is a sin. We often say that as the church goes, so goes America. But those of us who've been involved in ministry any length of time at all realize that preceding how the church goes is how the pastor goes. Churches become a reflection of their pastor. And if their pastor takes the position that politics are sinful, they're dirty, and they shouldn't be involved in them, their people won't be. Last election cycle for president, 17 million professing Christians did not vote, didn't participate, and that election was turned on the basis of 10 million votes. Now, what people need to ask themselves is, if they like the way America is going, just keep doing what they're doing, and it will continue to slide toward Gomorrah. Preachers have got to engage.
Go ahead.
Not engagement that's going to change us. It's going to be God, and that's why we're laying a foundation this go-round of extended prayer.
Rick, do you see a change now? Do you see now evangelicals starting to realize the importance? Because I've always said the left, the secular left, they never stop working. In a free society, if you cede that battle to the left, it's over.
I see the beginning of an awakening, Peter. When you have a president as hostile to Christianity as the one sitting in the White House right now, and by the way, I'd send everybody who would listen to us to David Barton's website, Wall Builders, where he lists the 12 pages of documented actions by this president that are hostile to Christianity. Just take a look at them. In this hostile environment, more and more preachers are finally awakening to the fact that if they don't do something now, they're going to lose the privilege of doing anything later. And so I am now encouraged that there's the beginning of an awakening. Is it wide enough and broad enough and deep enough? Only God knows the answer to that. But at least there's a stirring.
Yes, and Rick, quickly give you the website, your website for Vision America as well.
It's visionamerica.org, visionamerica.org.
Okay.
And would love for people to visit that site.
And we've got the other website for the prayer website is 40daystosaveamerica.com. That's 40daystosaveamerica.com. Folks, get involved. Tell your pastor. Recruit people for Rick Scarborough. This is a work of God. It's awesome. We'll be back right after the break with Rick Scarborough, who is the founder of a new movement called 40 Days to Save America. The website, 40daystosaveamerica.com.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back, folks, to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're very pleased to be interviewing Dr. Rick Scarborough, who's the founder of Vision America. He's also the founder of a new movement called 40 Days to Save America. The website is 40daystosaveamerica.com. And let me tell you, folks, if we just had 10 more Rick Scarboroughs in America, our country would be a different place. This man has a heart for God and for our culture. And it just pains me to see so many pastors not only not engaged in the culture, they sort of feel like, John, almost justified, yeah. And it's just something they don't want to get involved in, and I don't think that's biblical.
Note to the audience, Peter said 10 more Rick Scarboroughs, not Joe Scarboroughs.
Yes, Rick,
okay.
Scarborough.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Rick, give us the short version of how you got engaged in the culture wars in the first place.
Well, I was pastoring my dream church, First Baptist Church of Pearland. Pearland was a suburb on the southeast side of Houston. In the first 18 months, we had grown about 500 additions by baptism. We were looking for property for a new church. Everything was going great until a lady told me about a high school assembly that I should attend. Frankly, I didn't have time for that, didn't want to, but after I sent my associate pastor to the first five assemblies, heard his report, I determined maybe I should go. I went armed with a pocket recorder, And I have to say, I could not have imagined anything at a high school that far beyond the realm of what anyone would declare to be decent and moral. The young lady was sponsored by the AIDS Foundation of Houston, a radically pro-homosexual organization. She was talking about safe sex, the use of condoms. She told our high school assembly, and in fact, my daughter was present in the assembly I attended. She told my daughter and the rest of the students that if they would engage in the form of sex that our former president engaged in the Oval Office, it was the safest kind because they couldn't get pregnant. And you know me, Peter. I was going to just tape record and deal with this in the proper way, but when she made statements so far beyond decency, I had to get involved. I raised my hand. She thought I was a principal, called on me. I challenged her facts. It got a little raucous because of the setting, so I quietly sat back down. But the following Sunday, I read her remarks line by line, word for word, four-letter words and all, to our congregation of 3,000 members, and never could I have ever imagined a church becoming so angry with something happening in their community. Now, I did tell the folks the nature of what my remarks would be. I gave them an opportunity to take the children out. But in that service was a Chronicle reporter who'd heard about my exchange at the high school. So the next day, it was on the front page of the Metropolitan section of the Houston Chronicle. It then became a national media event. As a result of that, I got involved. We addressed the school board before about 600 people. A week later, I addressed national radio and television audiences subsequently. Before long, we had four of our members on the school board out of seven, three on the city council out of five, and then wrote a book called Enough is Enough that launched what I do today, and that's travel across America urging pastors to get involved.
Now, how did that end up? Did they reverse the policy?
As a result of that, of my approaching the school board, the principal was fired for other official reasons. I was invited to name the next assembly speaker that spoke about 2 weeks later, refuting these claims of safe sex. Our church donated $4,000 that we took up in one offering to fill the new library of a new high school with Christian materials on the Christian view of sexual activity within the confines of marriage. And I was able to appoint three of our members to serve on a committee to rewrite the sex education curriculum. So the fact is, when the church got involved, there were good results. The school board was not our enemy. They turned out to be neighbors and friends who had been hoodwinked by this very liberal principal who bought into the mantra of safe sex. The principal that replaced him came from a high school where abstinence curriculum had been embraced, and a lot of good things came out of that confrontation and the awakening of this preacher that we cannot be silent, we cannot sit on the sidelines, because in the deafening void of a Christian voice, other voices are going to rise up.
And that's what's so sad to me, Rick, is that how many, you outed that whole situation, you confronted it, exposed it, but how many thousands of similar lectures have occurred across these United States, especially in the public schools?
All over Houston before she got to our school, and no one had even raised a ruckus about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's they're basically, they've used our schools, as they call them, the change agents, John, which is the liberal term for...
And you know, the two things about this, Pastor, is not only how many more of them that are out there, but how many more of us that are ignorant to it, of us pastors. Yeah.
Half of the church is not even, they're not even aware these battles are being fought. And the half that are at least aware, I would say 70% of them take the see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil approach. Mm. Just let me get on with my day. I go to church to learn about Jesus, not to live like Jesus.
And how would you respond to such a pastor?
Well, with a kind but firm rebuke. You know, the fact is that the church is like she is because of the silence of the pulpit. You know, the saddest thing that I can report is that in my lifetime, I've lived under the preaching of Dr. Jerry Falwell, Dr. D. James Kennedy, Dr. Adrian Rogers, Dr. Bill Bright. But in a three-year span, we lost all of those thundering voices of righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And in their place, now the preachers of record are men who are saying, I'm okay, you're okay, we're okay, they're okay, and it's okay, when you and I both know it's not. There's a tragic silence on the national scene of true prophetic preaching.
And Rick, as you sort of touched on, we had the Christian Coalition, we had all these national movements. Focus on the Family, as we all know, has sort of pulled back.
That's right. That's it.
We're not just saying they're not doing good work. They are doing good work, but they were a huge force in the culture wars on the pro-family side, and now they've sort of pulled back. So do you think this will ever come back like that, or is it going to be in a new, as you call, the remnant? What form do you think it will take in years coming forward here?
Well, that's why we've called for 40 days of prayer and fasting, Peter. Because the fact is, evil never operates in a vacuum. It always extends, and Satan never gives back ground that he's taken just willingly. It has to be taken back by force. In this case, the force of prayer followed by biblical action. We're trying to find the remnant in America. We're urging them to go to the site, 40 Days to Save America, and sign up as a participant. Beginning September the 28th, daily prayer reminders and prayer guides will be sent to those who sign up, which we hope will number in the hundreds of thousands by the day that we begin. We hope to have concerted prayer for 40 continuous days with thousands of Christians fasting during that time, asking God for forgiveness of our apathy and our neglect, and giving us one more sweeping revival so that this country can be saved. Peter, you're aware of this, but it wasn't a majority of Americans that wanted to fight Great Britain when the country was founded. It was a dedicated minority who were mobilized by the preaching of George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards and a host of other lesser-known preachers, giving us the first Great Awakening. They didn't get it right. Slavery was preserved in the Union, and it almost caused the death of America. But the preaching of Charles Finney ignited the hearts of preachers all over the United States of that time. And finally, we saw through tragically the death of more than a half million Americans in the Civil War, the expunging of slavery and the end of that era of horrible, tragic sin.
Rick,
but
can
now
I cut?
Here we are, this 150 years later. We've got an equally as grave of injustice in abortion and the advancing of the homosexual agenda. We're on the brink of moral, financial, and spiritual collapse, and the only thing that's going to save it is a third Great Awakening. I'm praying for a third Great Awakening.
Now, Rick, let's give that website out again. It's 40daystosaveamerica.com, 40daystosaveamerica.com. Rick, as a pastor, we got 2 minutes left. Tell us the significance of America, the American institutions, our government, getting behind what I call the blasphemous idea of homosexual so-called marriage. What is the significance of that for our country and for our people spiritually?
Well, we've literally slapped the face of the only hope we have, and that is the Lord Jesus. We officially have taken positions now as a country that are antithetical to the Bible and antithetical to the God who gave us our liberties and guaranteed our rights. If we don't hasten to repent of that, then the God who gave us freedom is also the God that will allow tyranny to take it away from us. God is our greatest hope, but he's also our greatest threat. And God help us if we forget that.
Yeah, it's like we often talk about these in practical terms, Rick, but one thing I appreciate about you is you show the spiritual significance. And attaching the noble institution that God created of marriage to something God calls an abomination is horrific. It's on a parallel with abortion in the seriousness of this sin.
Well, and we have an entire major party in this country that has embraced that and an antithesis to God's design. Clearly, the physical anatomy should tell you everything you need to know about what constitutes a marriage, and yet we've denied the most vivid illustration of all, not to mention the revealed Word of God. Help us, O Lord, to get our thinking straight. You know, Peter, 40 years ago, if you'd mentioned that the day would come when America would embrace abortion, people would have laughed at you. But now we have a generation of Americans that have known nothing else. 30 years ago, if you'd have mentioned the fact that we would ever dare take the Ten Commandments from public viewing, people would have laughed at you. But we've now lived for 30 years without the Ten Commandments being legally allowable in our public schools. And had you 10 years or 20 years ago said homosexuality would become commonplace, people would have said you were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd have said 5 years ago we would legalize homosexual unions and homosexual activity in our military, people would have said, no way. But now all of those things are the norm, and you and I and what we believe are becoming increasingly marginalized and soon will be imprisoned if this trend continues. We've got to stand up, speak up, and refuse to shut up.
Okay, Rick, I know we've gone a little bit over here, but I thank you so much for your time. Folks, go to Rick's website, 40 Days to Save America, Pastor Rick Scarborough. His other website is visionamerica.com. Please support this. If I can fast, if Pete LaBarbera can fast, and I've never fasted, I'm ashamed to say, if I can do it and I'm committed to this, then anybody can do it. John, let's say, Pastor Rick, would you mind saying a prayer for us as we before we go out here?
You bet I will. Father, Peter is just trying to be obedient. I'm just trying to be obedient. Neither of us have the physical capabilities to make a vow that we would keep. And, Lord, in my case, you're leading me to take a vow for 40 days. Lord, I pray your help. We dedicate ourselves to seeing revival in this country. Oh, God, give us one more chance. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Rick.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we will be praying and participating and promoting your event.
Thank you.
God bless.
Okay.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with Pete LaBarbera and John Kirkwood. All our interviews are available archived at AmericansForTruth.org. That's AmericansForTruth.org. Also, don't forget our banquet coming up Saturday, October 27th at Christian Liberty Academy in Arlington Heights, Illinois, featuring Dr. Judith Reisman. That's Saturday, October 27th. Please return to our website, make a donation, AmericansForTruth.org. There's a donate button. Donate to our cause. Help us to continue with these interviews, and thanks for listening. God bless.